All right. Welcome to another episode of The Close Up, a part of the Orlando Magic HQ network. I'm your host, Stephen Cameron. Today we got my good friend, Philip Rossman Wright. What's going on, man? Welcome back to the show. How are you doing this evening?
It is good to be back. Is there anything going on this week? I mean, any big games, any big momentous occasions? You know, just clear sailing to the All-Star break, right?
Pretty quiet week. Yeah. No trade deadlines, no Miami game for standings and nothing. We're okay.
Making his first trip to Orlando.
No, Wemby.
Just nothing going on. Nothing going on. We're just waiting for Tuesday, the national TV game, Shaq's jersey retirement. We're just waiting.
Just a casual Monday. Listeners, we're recording this Monday, February 5th, 2024. The Magic have just, they're on a three-game winning streak, and they have some really fun things. Like we were teasing, the trade deadline, big game versus Miami Heat that Philip is going to road trip down for, all sorts of things, you know, this new big closing lineup. So we have a few things we're going to talk about today with Philip. You know, like I said, the three-game winning streak. We're going to dig in a little bit to Cole Anthony in that second unit just because they've been struggling a little bit and we want to figure out why. Obviously that the big lineup that we've been closing with J.I. playing, without a point guard, it's a massive lineup. All four guys plus a 6'4" or 6'10" and above. It's wild. And Jalen Suggs being the shortest guy on the court. And then obviously trade deadline stuff. So before we get into that with Philip though, just a couple of housekeeping things I want to remind you of. We are a part of the Believe Podcast Network. Make sure you tap into all the Believe content. You know, they're going to have a lot of Super Bowl stuff coming up this week. They're really big into the NFL. Also, they have a bunch of NBA podcasts. So go ahead, check out Believe Podcast Network. Second thing, check out our Instagram subscription program. We're about to be doing another giveaway probably after the All-Star break. I believe we'll probably run another one. But even outside of that, come join our subscription program. It's $5 a month. It gets you into the group chat. It gets you 20% off select home games. They actually just released the rest of the home games for the season. And it's pretty sick. There's some good games on there that you can get some good discounts on. We're going to be doing a Q&A after the trade deadline, probably next week for like just roundtable talk for our group. And then we just do custom content just for you guys. So think about joining that. That $5 just comes back to you eventually with like better content, and you know, giveaways and stuff like that. It allows us to just keep pushing this train along. So all your support's really appreciated. We are very thankful of that, and we're very thankful for all of our current subscribers. So appreciate you all. And then the last thing we're gonna do is we're gonna talk about our presenting sponsor of the week. It's the normal Bet Online. They're great partners of us. We love Bet Online. I was actually on their site just the other day thinking I might need to play some bets recently, because it's playoff time and the road to the NFL victory goes through San Francisco and Kansas City. Bet Online is your number one source for playoff football odds, stats, trends, and lines, with everything from point spreads to hundreds of player performance prop bets. Head to Bet Online today to stay updated on all the action. Bet Online, where the game starts. Another thing that you can use Bet Online for, and Philip, we did not talk about this, but I'm just bringing you in hot right now just because I want to give our sponsor a little bit of extra love, and I want to kind of jump in and tease a little bit of what we're getting into tomorrow. The Orlando Magic play the Miami Heat. Pretty big game. There's a lot on the line for this. It's potential tiebreaker stuff going on for the playoffs. They're a playoff team. There's standings. We're neck
division
and neck
title.
Division title for that banner.
Y'all think that doesn't matter, but it does. It does matter. You still hang banners for that.
We need banners in the practice courts. All right. Like, come on, people. I might have to place a bet on that one. Philip, if you were to place a bet, I would just highly encourage you to go to Bet Online and place a bet through them, because they're great and you can use them in a lot of places that you can't use other traditional betting websites. I'm not encouraging anything, but I also am at the same time. All right. Philip, the Magic are 27-23. It's funny. They actually haven't lost a game since my last episode. I'm calling our mutual friend Richard Stamen.
You're putting all the pressure on me now.
It's a locked on, close up collaboration. Cause it was Richard Stamen was my guest last week. Locked on Big Board, Locked on Magic. We're just going to keep this train rolling, baby. 27-23. They are currently, let me get back to my standings.
Seventh.
Puts them there. Seventh in the East.
Half game back of Indiana. One game up on Miami. I got this memorized. I got my podcast record right after this.
It's nice. It's fun because just a few weeks ago we were like pretty solidly in eighth, and then the Heat started dropping. The Bulls started catching, which put a little fire under our ass. It was a little scary. And then Indiana just kind of they didn't go too high. They didn't go too low. They just kind of stayed stagnant. Just with like where the Magic are right now, we've won three in a row. We've won four out of the last five, and we've won three out of the last four on our five game road trip. Just how are you feeling about this team right now? It feels like things are changing kind of back to what we saw at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, there are definitely signs over the course of the last road trip and signs as this team started to get healthier that they were a little bit better than their record indicated, and that the injuries just were really taking a toll. And so as we've seen guys get healthy, so, Franz Wagner comes back, Markelle Fultz comes back, Wendell Carter comes back, Jonathan Isaac comes back, now we're seeing Gary Harris come back. As these guys work their way back into the fold, it just makes sense. You have better players, guys are back playing the roles that they thought they were going to be playing in the preseason. It would make sense that things start to click a little bit more. Guys are just kind of in the right spots more often than not. And Paolo doesn't have to carry as much, so he's not as worn down later in games, although he's still really good in clutch situations. It's just, so much of it is guys are back in their proper roles, and guys are back playing their proper areas. They know they have depth. That's been a strength of this team, so they can play with the intensity and fire on defense that maybe they couldn't when they were all hurt, because, you got to preserve yourself to get to the end of the game. You can't, burn too bright because you don't have that guy that's coming in to spell you. Jamal Mosley's, I think, mentioned it several times, specifically referring to Jalen Suggs, play yourself to exhaustion. Like they want guys to get after it like that. You can't really do that when you only have 9 guys available or 10 guys available, really 8 guys that you trust, because they have to throw some guys in there and just roll the dice a little bit and see what you have. So I think health is a big part of it. The schedule, despite how road heavy it's been the last couple of weeks, is at least on paper lightening up a little bit. So the Magic are in a position where they can make some mistakes. They can find themselves again and put themselves back into a position to start stringing together wins. And obviously they're starting to do that. They have this, last road game and then 4 straight at home. And, they're not all easy games. Oklahoma City's a very good team. New York's a very good team. But they have these 4 home games, and that's, again, an opportunity to really build some momentum heading into the All-Star break before you kind of take your last deep breath before the end of the season.
It's interesting. Because there was this time when we were coming back from injury and then the team was pretty healthy for a few weeks and things still just looked off, right? And now they're not. And now we have, not only that, we have, they're just back to their, top dominant performance on defense, too. And we know from earlier that's what was really what was bringing them wins was their defensive effort. And like you mentioned, there's no easy game in the NBA, but there is easier schedules versus harder schedules, right? You still got to show up in this. And we learned that, versus the Grizzlies game. You don't show up, you ain't going to win, even if the team is missing half their roster.
And honestly, even that Grizzlies game, I know I mentioned this on my pod. I was more upset by the way they lost to Dallas than the way lost to Memphis. Because the way they lost to Memphis, they didn't defend great in the first half. And so they kind of put themselves in the hole a little bit. But I thought they played a great second half, and they just couldn't hit a shot. And that's a problem with this team. We're going to get to it. But you know, if you're losing games because you just have a really bad shooting night, which this team does, you can kind of live with that. What eats me is when the Magic have a great shooting night like they did Monday in Dallas, or last Monday in Dallas.
Sure.
And they don't take advantage of that because that means their defense is letting them down, and that can't happen. So generally,
12 points in one quarter doesn't help.
It doesn't help, but you could survive. You know, you could survive a 12-point quarter when if you're only giving up 20.
Sure.
Like, you know, they gave up, what, 36, 38, something like that. They gave up a lot of, you know, they went up from up 6-17 to down 8. Yeah. You know, they gave up a big swing.
It was bad. It was very bad.
The defense was a bigger issue, and the defense was, you got them back in the game, obviously, but was a big issue down the stretch in that game as well. So, you know, to me, what this stretch of games has really been about is now that everyone's healthy, you're right. They're back to their defensive identity. They're back to using their defense to lift them up. And, you know, your defense gives your offense a chance to stay in the game and can create some offense when you otherwise might not have it. That's big for this team. And that's their formula for success.
And we are seeing that in a really big way, as I tease this, with our current closing lineup. You know, we've seen it a couple of games now where Jalen Suggs is the smallest person on the floor. You can call him a point guard in this situation if you want, but they're all kind of point guards sort of in this situation. It's being run through Paolo and Franz, but you know, so you got 6'4" Jalen Suggs, you got 6'10" Franz at the two, you got 6'10" Paolo at the three, you got Jonathan Isaac or Wendell Carter. You know, Jonathan
Positions
Isaac 7 foot.
Yeah, you know,
I mean,
that.
They're just so big. Jonathan Isaac 7 foot. Wendell Carter, you know, 6'10", and that team, that lineup is just ridiculous. I know you have the stats in front of you probably, or just memorized. I think defensively they're giving up like 83 points or something like just break that down. Just Jonathan Isaac, big lineup closing, Jonathan Isaac playing 20 minutes a game. It's pretty awesome. Just go. I'm just going to let you thought.
Yeah. So generally, I think what we all believe is that the Magic's overarching philosophy is let's just get the five best players on the court. Like positions are fudgy. Get your five best players on the court. Have them be versatile enough that they can guard any position, that, you know, they're versatile defenders. And you can figure out how to piece together the offense. And so to me, this is that ideal. Like we got to the end of that game in Minnesota, and it was very much like, okay, the way Minnesota was defending Markel Fultz early on, it was just like, you can't go back to him. No. You know, Cole Anthony we'll talk about him in a minute. I know that's on our rundown. He's not reliable, and he's a negative defender. You know, not that he doesn't try, but he's a negative defender at this point. And so the logic was just, we're defending really well. This is a big team anyway. Let's go with Isaac. And obviously there's numbers to back up that this is working. I mean, they've only played 22 minutes together, which does not feel like a lot in six games. So that's what, almost four
Very
minutes per game.
Site. Yeah.
They got a 114.3 offensive rating, a 97.9 defensive
93.
Rating.
Yeah.
And so this is a lineup that works. And I think what's really, really important to remember, and I think this would change things. The Magic have played from ahead in both of these games. They've been protecting the lead. And so I think the Magic understand that our best defender is Jonathan Isaac. Like
Absolutely.
as good as this team is defensively, and Jalen Suggs has been awesome defensively, Wendell Carter is great defensively, Jonathan Isaac is still the best defender on this team. And when he's healthy,
by a mile.
He's the top two defenders on this team.
Yep.
Jonathan Isaac in the post, and Jonathan Isaac in the paint, and Jonathan Isaac on the perimeter are the two best defenders on this team.
Correct.
If you're protecting a lead, you keep your best defender out on the floor and just let him envelop anybody. And Franz is a good defender. I don't love him guarding quicker twos for very long, but for these short 3-4 minute bursts, it's you know, a lot of us want to compare it to the Golden State Warriors death lineup with Draymond Green at center. Everyone forgets that they really only use that lineup for like 2-3 minutes at a time, really at the end of first half. So just kind of give a jolt before halftime. And then they use it in the playoffs as matchups dictated. That's kind of what the Magic are doing here. They use it for those last 4 minutes when other teams don't really know what to do with that kind of versatility and size. And Jonathan Isaac is such a monster defensively that, you know, he can shut it, you know, Cat can push him around, but he's still going to challenge and scrap against Cat. You know, he can switch out onto Cade Cunningham and lock him down or box out Jalen Duren.
It's all because of Jonathan Isaac. Putting a switch on Jonathan Isaac, he will just, he'll take any switch you give him and be fine.
Yeah. And everyone else is capable enough defensively that when you have a lead, it works. Like, I wouldn't say the Magic executed great to close that game out on Sunday in Detroit, but Detroit wasn't scoring on that team either. And so you could keep that lead at like 6-7 points instead. You know, I'd love to see them extend that to 10-12 so we can relax, and they ended up winning by 12 anyway. But you know, Detroit hung around, but they couldn't score on that group. And so at the end of the day, this lineup, this group, Jonathan Isaac, is just so locked down defensively. You know, you don't worry so much about the offense because you're playing with the lead right now. Anyway, I am curious if the Magic are trailing, if they go to that lineup thinking, okay, we got to use our defense to create our offense. But, you know, Jonathan Isaac is still very much a work in progress on offense, right, even though he had a big shot. He had the big tip in against Minnesota. So again, it's not like he's a zero, but you know, the Magic are still playing with guys that don't have much of an offensive game out there.
Yeah, his offense is definitely what's missing. You know, you see him trying, it's just not all clicking together yet, and shots are not falling for him yet. You know, he's had a couple of good moments where he's cut to the basket well, or like that tip in. He's taken some threes, but they're not falling really. He's hit a couple here and there at good
timing. They're not running any plays for him. Let's be clear.
He's still just kind of like, you know, playing within the flow of what happens organically with him, and hopefully, you know,
a lot of standing in the corner.
Yeah, and that's okay for now. You know, that's fine. Ultimately, we should have other players on the team offensively that can allow him to kind of be one of the weaker guys on that side.
And to interrupt, but to that point, you know, a lot of coaches, and like, this is why the Magic went with Terrence Ross over Jonathan Isaac back in 2019 and for parts of 2020, a lot of coaches prefer to put their best offensive lineups out late in games, even if it costs them defensively, because they want points. It's almost, you know, it's almost an Elam ending thing. Is like, we got to hit a target score as much as protect the lead. The Magic are almost taking the opposite mentality of saying, we've got a lead, all we got to do is hang on, and we've got the ace in the hole in Jonathan Isaac to help us do that.
Well, it also helps that we have an ace in the hole of Paolo Banchero offensively, who's been pretty darn clutch in fourth quarters too, right?
Top, I think he's sixth or seventh in the league in total clutch points this year.
And there's still going to be some bumpy moments there, but it's like, I think you're balancing the two of them out. Jonathan Isaac's lacking the offense. You have Paolo, you know, you got Jonathan Isaac, who's can be the best defender on the court for both teams. It's, you know, there's very few players in this league, maybe two, three, that might be a better defender when Jonathan Isaac is healthy and engaged and locked in, which he is most nights, which is pretty awesome to see. But before we go too much deeper, I want to ask specifically about Jonathan Isaac's ramp up, right? So he started off this year before his injury playing like 12 to 14 minutes a game. Occasionally there was a little abnormally there. There was a game where he played like 19 minutes, a game where he played like 16 or 17, but mostly kind of stayed in that 12 to 14 minute range. And then they were just like, about 2 weeks ago, a week and a half ago, they're like, 20 plus minutes. Let's go. And it looks like he's done really well with that, right? There was that moment where Fultz was out on the back-to-back after the Grizzlies game, going to Memphis, or I think that was the schedule,
It was Phoenix, Dallas.
Yeah, thank you for that. Phoenix at home, starting on the road trip in Dallas, and you know, he played 8 minutes in the first half. Magic fans, calm the fuck down, all right? They did not plan to only play him 8 minutes that night. We heard it in the post game. I still see some of y'all chirping out there. Excuse my F-bomb, but at the same point, it's not that hard to understand that the intention was to play in both halves. He wasn't feeling 100%. They said, you know what? Let's not push that person. He's really important to us. So they took him out. We had to threw some things off. We lost the game. Oh, well. Magic fans. Sorry, I'm on my soapbox. I just want you all to chill out.
I will play the devil's advocate here. You know, I'm fine with all that. Like, I get it. This isn't 2K. Guys aren't just magically better and you can play them 30 minutes. You know, there is a ramp up and they're very careful with Isaac for very good reason. My only complaint about that whole situation is that the Magic never specifically told us what was going on. They should have announced Isaac was experiencing soreness. They decided to not play him in the second half. And that announcement never came through their PR channels online. It never came through the broadcast, except for what Dante said, saying that this was the plan, which again, is just miscommunication.
Totally.
We were happy to see Jonathan Isaac play in a back-to-back period. And there's not many of them left. And as I keep reminding people, there's no back-to-backs in the playoffs when things really matter. So let's be calm about it.
And we'll be okay. And, you know, it's very frustrating how they dance around that stuff. And that's never going to change. Even in the post-game when Jason was asking specifically about what's going on, you know, it just wrapped it up as precautionary. Didn't even mention, like, it was his thigh. It was his ankle. It was, you know, could give us a tiny bit more, but that's just how the Magic are. A lot of things are scripted with how they respond to injury questions.
It's one game. He came back the next game. He was fine. Let's move on.
But anyways, outside of that one game, the ramp up, how are you enjoying? I mean, obviously I'm imagining you're enjoying this ramp up, but what do you kind of expect him to get at by, is there another stage of this ramp up that you think he's going to get to by the end of the year? Are you kind of thoughts on the ramp?
There definitely is. I mean, Jamal Mosley has said as he hit that 20 minute mark that they're trying to push him a little bit more physically. They're trying, you know, they're constantly communicating, like, how are you feeling? Like the soreness issue, like any soreness, any like tightness, anything like that. But they feel they're at a stage with him where they can push him a little bit. You know, he played the entire fourth quarter against Minnesota. And honestly,
it was awesome.
Honestly, that is more significant than playing 20 minutes in a game. Like, being able to play 12 minutes of an NBA game straight and play at the high level that he played at throughout that entire quarter. Like, Jonathan Isaac, I don't want to say won that game, but Jonathan Isaac was a big factor in that game. And it was a huge win. One of the best wins of the season. They're willing to push him more. And to me, that says he is getting healthier. I mean, I think obviously the big hurdle for him is playing in back-to-backs, you know, being able, you know, being comfortable enough, you know, there's no back-to-backs in the playoffs. I just said that, but that is like the last big hurdle, is being able to kind of deal with the regular grind of the season and not have those restrictions in place. And so, you know, I think we're still not there. It wouldn't surprise me if he plays the back-to-back next week, Oklahoma City, New York, before the All-Star break, because there's no travel involved. But there was another home back-to-back that I think Markel Fultz ended up not playing in because even though there was no travel involved, they didn't want to push him on a back-to-back. So again, it's a lot of it with these guys is like this team has their benchmarks. You know, they ask how the guys are doing. They have their date. They have data on all these guys. They used to have Catapult. I don't know if they still have Catapult, but they all have wearables. Like, they know like what these guys are, and whether that science is good or not, the NBA seems to be disputing some of it. The Magic have their benchmarks to say, okay, he's ready to do this. And then they're going to do it. And kind of like concussion protocol, they're going to do it, see how you feel. And then you got to, you know, kind of do all the other steps before you get to do it again. So, you know, I'm a big believer, just like everything else, it's process over results. We can discuss and say whether the process is flawed, whether the Magic need a new process. That's not really for us to say. We're not doctors, but as long as the Magic are following that process and they feel they're ready to push him a little bit more, then they're doing the right things.
I personally don't have a problem with the process. I think the only thing I wish we had more, and it's not even JI related, it's just
information.
Give us better communication on things. Like, it doesn't have to feel like a script to where
it shouldn't
people
be
like
so
you who are
accurate.
In the post game don't even want to ask questions and waste a question on it because you're just going to get a blanket response. I had some people in one of our post games.
And look, I get some of it. Like, I get not putting a timeline on a guy. Like Jeff Wellman has explained why they don't put timelines on players. They don't want to put pressure on the player to come back sooner and get hurt. They don't want to set a date and then they hit that date and they're like, well, he's not ready. And now everyone's ticked off at the team.
There's
like
other ways they can balance that.
Yeah.
Stuff,
yeah. Like
that's not going to change. So
like we're an understanding media. We're not like New York. We're not sharks. There's like five, of, you know, there's five of us in that room. Like we're not out here to get anybody, you know, for the most part, you know, maybe there's a few people that Pat Beverly sends in, but we're not out here to get people. Like we get it. There's not an adversarial relationship, but it definitely feels like, hey, you can trust us that we're not going to exploit the information that you give us or twist it. Yeah.
Total aggregated.
I don't know. That's how I feel. Like I don't know. Maybe we need to be like that. I don't know. I don't think so. No,
that's an off-air conversation.
I don't think that's the right way to do journalism. So
No. They've been fair with us. We should continue to be fair with them. All right. Let's move past JI and how we wish his front office would talk a little bit more about injury. We don't have to totally move on past JI. I'm sure he'll come back.
The good news is no one's hurt now, so there's nothing to say.
We're good. Yeah, exactly. Everyone's healthy for once. It's pretty nice. All right. The second unit, I want to talk about the second unit for a second, and Cole Anthony specifically. He has been in a slump. There was a photo of, God, what was the NBA player? There was an NBA player and they did the photo before and after haircut. And it was just like before haircut, bad, after haircut, stats were insane. And it's kind of been the same with Cole, except in reverse. Before haircut, great. After haircut, the mojo has been gone. Granted, he was dealing with an injury for a long time and he was playing through it, which definitely probably was a factor in his performance. And I don't know. Maybe he's still dealing with that right now. I'm not sure. But what's your thoughts on Cole Anthony and the second unit? Like, they used to be one of the best second units in the league as far as scoring, and now I can't say they're even close to that. So,
yeah,
what's going on here, Phil?
You know, a lot of it, I think Cole is probably still dealing with that quad issue. And so, hopefully, you know, I'm concerned. Don't get me wrong, but I will be more concerned if it's still an issue, if this is still an issue after the All-Star break, if, you know, he doesn't get that week off and he doesn't look a little bit more springy and refreshed. But honestly, like, I think some of it is, this is just kind of how Cole Anthony is. Like, we've had three, four years with him now. And I feel like he, maybe not this bad, like this might be worse than usual, but it does feel like he goes in and out. Like he has a long stretch where he isn't playing at the level that he was maybe earlier in the season. And I think that is just kind of who he is. Like, he's really streaky. And so the problem may not necessarily be Cole Anthony. The problem may be that the Magic are relying on Cole Anthony to be a sixth man, to play that role. And maybe the thing you had to figure out this year was whether he could fulfill that role or not. You know, I'm a big believer, like, this year is very much about figuring things out and figuring out, you know, kind of what this team looks like as a playoff team. That may be one of the things you're figuring out. And obviously that sucks right now because the Magic need offense. And in that second unit, especially with Franz out, you know, now that Franz is back, maybe he starts playing a little bit more regular rotation minutes. You need to have that primary scorer, and Cole was doing a lot of it, you know, running this more stuff through Joe Ingles. So Cole's working off the ball, working off rotations, getting Franz back with that group, playing his regular minutes, because his minutes have been, you know, slowly been ticking up as well. As he comes back from his injury, you know, it's going to come down to just Cole making shots. Like, again, like I hate to say it, like, so many of the Magic's problems, it isn't rocket science. They have to make shots, and Cole is really good at getting in the paint and taking these kind of floaters. And right now those floaters aren't going in, and that's all touch. That's all feel. There's not a lot more you can do than get those shots and just be confident that you can make them. And, you know, maybe Cole makes them a little tougher than he has to. Maybe Cole has to be a little bit better of a passer, but that's also part of the problem with Cole is he's small. Like, again, like I mentioned earlier, his defense is not bad for lack of trying. The guy tries real hard on defense, but he's small, and everyone takes advantage of that. In especially with the way the Magic want to play. And so I think some of this is you have to ride this wave and hope that this deep valley leads to a high peak again. But it may just be the realization that Cole isn't the sixth man option that he looked like he was early in the season, and now the Magic have to figure out a way to fill that role again.
It's interesting because, like, they just gave him a 3-year extension, you know, and he's just, yeah, he's just been really on and off streakiness, and it's like, you want to love Cole, and you want to root for him hard because he's a fun personality. He's an energizer.
He's a ride or die with this group. Like, there is no bigger cheerleader on this team for his teammates than Cole Anthony. Like, he is really important to that locker room.
But the coaching staff is starting to make adjustments because of his poor play. The last two games, he hasn't scored, or he hasn't played over 12 minutes in either game. He played 12 in the Timberwolves game, and he played 10 or 11 in the Detroit game. So they are making adjustments for that, which I want Magic fans to, like, realize, because, you know, online I'm hearing, you know, let's get Anthony back playing over him, right? Let's do this, let's do that. Well, they're making adjustments. He's getting less playing time because he's not playing as good. He hasn't been as effective, so they're pulling him out sooner and playing other guys longer, like Jonathan Isaac playing the entire fourth quarter the other night. That definitely fed into a little bit of Cole Anthony's minutes there. And it's just important little things to realize that I just want to point out that, you know, again, the coaching staff is making adjustments. We hope Cole can find himself again offensively with his efficiency, because when he is on, he is awesome. He is a great player for that second unit. But
I want to point out too, like,
sure,
the second unit is still winning a lot of these minutes. Like, the Magic destroyed Minnesota in the second and fourth quarters on Friday. They won the Pistons game because of their second and fourth quarter. So even though Cole may not necessarily be scoring and he can be a bit of a drain, they're still winning these minutes. I don't know what his plus minus is in these last couple games, but at least during this win streak, the Magic are still, like, winning the minutes that Cole Anthony would typically be in the game just generally. So
I'll tell you, his plus minus in the Detroit game was a -1, but something funny, his plus minus in the Timberwolves game, it was a +2. So,
and again, individual plus minus in an individual game doesn't tell
you great.
Much.
Yeah.
And obviously, like, the Magic were down 17. If Cole plays a little bit better, maybe that number jumps up a little bit more. We're not saying here that the Magic don't need more from Cole, but, like, at the end of the day, the only stat that matters for any of us is, did you win the game? Did you score more points than the other team? Like, that's the stat that matters the rest of the season, because we're in a playoff chase.
Yeah, and you want to be able to, like, just rely on that second unit to do their job and score. And, you know, when Cole's on, you just want to see him continue to make buckets. It's just fun. It's fun. And it's hard and frustrating to see him struggle right now, because he's one of the few offensive players that can really help swing this team, and get hot on the second unit. And we don't have many players that can just get hot and get going, right? There's a couple, and Cole's one of them, but he hasn't been there. Which then brings me to the trade deadline, right? We're a few days away. We're 3 days away. When you guys are listening to this, 2 days away. Things could be happening by the time you listen. We could have Dejounte Murray or broken surgery repaired Zach LaVine on this team in a day. Probably not. Neither one of those are actually going to happen, but it's possible that they could do something big by the time you hear this podcast. Sorry, I had a tab, the ESPN tab was playing an ad in my ear at the same time. I had to quickly close that tab out. And I'm just checking right now. Woj has not dropped anything about the Orlando Magic. His last post was 6 hours ago about Donovan Mitchell playing in the 3-point shooting contest in the All-Star break. So with this team, with some of the holes that we have, with them having all their own picks, plus a bunch of extra seconds, plus an extra first, plus some pick swaps with Phoenix, and a bunch of really tradable contracts, how are you feeling about this trade deadline? We could do something big. We've been connected to a few people. You and I, as we were talking in this lead up, obviously don't think we're going to do something big, but I do think I think we're going to do something that will affect the roster in a positive way, right? How are you feeling about this trade deadline?
Yeah, You know, I think the biggest thing for me is that the posture for this franchise and for this team is completely different than anything we've seen from Jeff Weltman before. We are no longer sellers at the deadline. The Magic are buyers. They're looking to find something to make this team better. They're not looking to collect assets. They're not looking for draft picks. They're looking for a way to make this team better. But I still think the most important thing to recognize and understand is that the Magic aren't necessarily playing for this season. You know, as much as I think we all want to get to the sixth seed, and that's very much in play. The Magic are a half game back of Indiana. They've won that season series already. They got Indiana one more time in Orlando. You know, they got, you know, one of the easier schedules left in this, in the NBA, at least by opponent win percentage. There's very real opportunity for Orlando to avoid the play-in entirely, but nothing Orlando's doing is going to ensure that. Like, they don't care about that. They're looking at it at a 2 to 4 year window. They're looking at the next 2 to 4 seasons. Like, what can we bring that's going to help us next season and set us up or tell us something about this group moving forward so that we can get, you know, from where we are this year to second round next year, to Eastern Conference Finals in 3-4 years, to NBA Finals in, let's say, 5-6 years. Like, that is the track the team wants to be on. And so they're not about to go spend all their most valuable assets to go get, if Zach LaVine were healthy, a Zach LaVine, a DeJounte Murray, a D'Angelo Russell. They're not about to kind of go crazy just to make sure they make the playoffs this year. They're pretty sure they're in the play-in. They're pretty sure they're in the 7-8 game regardless. That's huge progress for this group and for this team. As much as we would like to just be 6 and no one's going to say no to that. But this Magic team is thinking still long-term. And so when you look at the trade market, what do the Magic have that they're willing to give up that won't disrupt the apple cart too much? Because I do think, you know, they've said it all season long. They value their continuity. They value that familiarity. And yeah, things may be bumping up against the ceiling for this group. And I believe that wherever they end up this year, as far as this group is constructed, will go. They definitely need to add things. But they don't want to just throw away what they've built. They want to give this, I think, like, honestly, they want to give this team the chance to go as far as they can go and then make some decisions. Like, honestly, like, I know a lot of Magic fans have been obsessing over Tyus Jones, and there's a lot of reasons to like Tyus Jones, but honestly, like, I look at this team and I think to myself, I don't really know. I know they need a point guard. I know they need shooting. I don't really know exactly what they need until we get into a playoff series and they just get their butts kicked by someone. Like, I want to see how Milwaukee just tears them apart, or Boston tears them apart, because that's going to tell you a whole lot more about where Paolo and Franz are and what they need to work on. That's going to tell you a whole lot more about what this team actually needs to succeed. And look, some of it's obvious. They need shooting. If they can, you know, flip Gary Harris for a shooter, you know, for like a Luke Kennard or for Doug McDermott, if they feel like they can cover for the defense, I think that's low cost. Trading Markelle Fultz to me is a little bit riskier because so many players on this team love Markelle and trust him and know how hard he's fought to stay in the league. And I think a new voice there is a much bigger risk than I think people believe. But having said that, if it makes the team better, it makes the team better. And ultimately that's the goal. For me though, the goal is better for the next 2 to 4 years, not this year. And I think that's going to be the bigger challenge because, you know, a lot of things the Magic could do, and that honestly includes like pushing in for DeJounte Murray, they can wait for the summer and do them. Like Tyus Jones, if Tyus Jones is really their guy, they can just sign him in the summer outright. They don't have to spend anything to get him.
I hope he's not their guy.
I don't think he is either, but
I have thoughts, you know, on Tyus Jones.
There's logic there. I don't think he's their guy either, but there's logic there, so you can't ignore.
He could be their guy if they want to eventually move him to the sixth man role and be looking for another point guard in 2 years. That's my theory. I think I would be fine with Tyus Jones, but to me that just feels like another stopgap, right? Because we have to pay him another contract. He's 6'1". He's not a good defender as much as people want to lie to themselves and say he is. He's not.
He'll be a better defender in the Magic's defensive atmosphere. Sure. But when you get to the playoffs, you're going to find out real quick. You can't have two 6'1 guards,
right? You just simply can't have that. You're going to get destroyed with them getting attacked.
Especially the way the Magic want to switch. They want switching schemes. They want to be able to switch one through five. Like,
I think if you get Tyus Jones, you're saying goodbye to Cole Anthony in a season or two. I think that might be the case either way. And that might be the case. But that's just my theory right there. Let's be real here though.
You know, we just had that big conversation about whether Cole Anthony is the sixth man or not. Like us wavering on that is very much a sign that he's probably not part of this team.
Moving forward.
And I think what's really, really important to remember is
they just can't trade him because they literally just signed him to an extension. Well, technically, but they're not going to.
The trade is very complicated. I don't think they will. I don't think they will. But
even this summer, I think is too soon. I think they'll do him at the next deadline at the earliest.
But this, like the team that they have now, is not the team they're winning a championship with.
No, of course not.
Outside, like Paolo and Franz are the only two players that I feel confident will be on the championship team of the Magic is. Jalen Suggs might be the only guy I throw in there next. I might throw in Anthony Black, maybe Jet Howard. But other than that, everybody is up for grabs. So,
yeah,
you know, at some point, the Magic are going to have to ask themselves very difficult questions about guys that have been on this roster for a long time that have helped build this thing and figure out how do we maximize these spots around our two guys that we're really invested in.
Sorry, go ahead.
No. And so, like, some of these questions, honestly, like I have a lot of questions about Wendell Carter. I know I voiced them over the summer.
Yeah.
Where I'm not sure you can have a center in the playoffs who isn't an above the rim center.
I agree.
But I think Wendell Carter's earned the right to prove to us whether that thesis is true or not. And so that's a question that I don't think's the most pressing question. Like the most pressing thing for the Magic is finding shooting. The second most pressing question is finding more shooting. And probably the third most pressing question is, what are you doing at point guard? And so when I look at this team, and it's no coincidence that like everything we've talked about at the deadline has been point guards. It's been, you know, Tyus Jones. It's been DeJounte Murray. It's been Malcolm Brogdon. It's been Chris Paul for a little while. It's been, it's been point guards. I think the way that Jeff Weltman operates, he wants to value continuity. He's not going to make these wholesale changes unless his back's against the wall and he has to. They're going to trust that they have a solid group that's building a good foundation and then start layering these things on. And so this summer, this offseason, this next like transaction cycle, so the deadline into the offseason, is going to be about finding a point guard and adding some shooting. And then from there, they can incorporate that into their culture and then figure out what the next thing is that they need to get where they want to go.
I don't think anyone's really expecting like a big move. I do think there's like a marginal move that's going to happen where, you know, Gary Harris could be flipped, maybe Chumo KK and some seconds.
I think he does have value for salary filler. I do think the Magic are probably open to trading their draft pick.
They should be. I think
they're not using Jet Howard right now. Like, what are they going to do with another rookie on their roster?
Jet Howard can be the rookie next year.
Exactly.
But I think like, you know, just going into that, and part of the reason why I was going into the Tyus Jones rant was more just like, one, Tyus isn't a long-term fix at point guard as a starter, right?
And you got to pay him.
And you have to pay him this summer. You're probably looking at figuring out that situation again as a starter in another year or two. And he is going to the second unit. So, like, if you want the Magic to trade for that point guard right now, Tyus Jones, that's likely the timeline. You're also seeing us having this question all over again in a year and a half. Markelle Fultz, he's expiring. I don't personally see him back on this team next year, but this front office also is not scared to let people, like, hit free agency in the summer. Like, they want to bring him back, they can bring him back. They can extend him if they, you know, I'm sure they can negotiate.
They got
that.
Till June 30th
or
to extend.
They've been fine to let people just walk. We've seen both, and that is okay. Markelle Fultz doesn't have a lot of value around the rest of the league right now either. He's played 16 games, maybe 17 so far this season. So just like kind of wanted to like harp on that just for a second. Like, I'm with you. I think the splashiest move they could make, but then this goes everything against we just said is like Malcolm Brogdon. But that ruins the continuity thing, because to me, if you're getting Malcolm Brogdon, you got to throw out, you know, Markel Fultz to go get him.
Yeah, and like I think Brogdon is a really good fit, and I think he would at least give this team a kind of test for what they're looking for point guard. Because, you know, part of this equation too is if they really believe in Anthony Black, then all they need is a placeholder. All they need is a guy to hold the boat steady for 2 years until Black's ready to take over. But having said that, they have shown no inclination that Anthony Black is a point guard. They don't play him like a point guard. They don't use him like a point guard. He's, you know, they're very like kid's gloves with him. Almost too much. He deserves to do more than he's done. And so, you know, I don't know if they're looking for the answer, but they're looking for an answer to hold their boat steady for the next 2 to 4 years as they figure some stuff out and they figure out who they are. And so, I like Brogdon as an idea. I don't think there's necessarily a trade framework with Portland to make it work with what Portland's looking for. If the Magic do go all in, I do think there's an opportunity to do so with DeJounte Murray to get kind of a third all-star level player. He fits the size that they like. You know, he's not a terrible defender. He's not a great defender. And I think being in the Atlanta atmosphere hurts him a little bit defensively. He goes for steals a lot. But he gives you another great scorer, big point guard, doesn't need the ball in his hands all the time, although he's better with it. They have an opportunity to go all in on him. He's cost controlled for the next 4 years. He's $18 million this year, and then his extension kicks in next year. There is an opportunity there. I just don't think the Magic feel like they're ready for it. Like they want to give Paolo and Franz the latitude to make mistakes. So I think they're trying to look for someone who is going to help this team, but be as least disruptive as possible.
And that's where I feel like a Brogdon, if they can make a trade work there around Fultz and a pick, would be fine. You know, and again, like, well, you know, Magic fans like, well, you just went on this rant on Tyus Jones and how he's not a long-term solution. Brogdon would be the same thing. But Brogdon is like, you don't have to pay him again, right? Where we do have to pay Tyus Jones, who is Brogdon, like 26, 27 and would want a 4-year contract.
Yeah. Brogdon's like, got this year, next year.
It's a little easier to deal with, you know, and potentially is an easier bridging gap.
And he tests a theory for you. To me, the big thing is, okay, we know this Magic team like size. Let's grab a big point guard who can shoot.
Right.
That doesn't necessarily need to be have a ball in his hands. And let's see if Paolo can run a lot more point. Or
his usage is very friendly when it comes to a situation like that. He can be a little bit heavy. He can be on, off. He can be, you know, light.
He can score when you need him to score more, but he'll be fine. Yeah.
He's a good theory to test. But, you know, ultimately, you and I agree. If they're going to do something, it's going to be on the margins. You and I might be a little bit different on how big of a margin it might be. Like, I think. Maybe something like Brogdon could be a little bit more realistic than
that's a big deal.
I think it's a big deal to an extent, other than it's probably not even a bigger deal, but it's like the reason why I'm saying margins, because it's probably not going to cost you a really good asset to go get. It's going to cost a Denver pick probably, and that's going to be a bad pick. That's almost the first round of the first pick in the second round might be more valuable than the Denver pick, to be realistic. I think it's going to be, you know, like a couple of the names you said, Alex Burks type, Luke Kennard.
Yeah.
You know, those types of guys.
Guys that boost the roster.
Harris in a couple seconds might be able to get you or something. Or Gary Harrison Chuma, if you need salary filler, you know, in a couple of seconds, or a protected first or something like that can go get you. So we'll see. We are just hours, if not days to hours away from this trade deadline shaking out. I do expect something, because the front office has done something every single deadline. I don't think it's going to be a nothing. But I do think something will happen, which will be interesting. So, Philip, any last thoughts before we wrap this podcast up?
You know, as much as this trade deadline stuff is exciting to talk about, I'm really excited about this playoff chase. And I think I'm an outlier. I care more about games than the transactional part of the NBA.
Sure.
Like Tuesday, like I assume this is going up Tuesday.
Yeah.
Tuesday's game against Miami is about as big of a game that the Magic have played. And like, we all felt how big that Boston game felt in the in-season tournament. And a lot of that felt a little manufactured. It was Black Friday. It was an afternoon game. The Celtics always bring a lot of heat to the building. The in-season tournament was a new thing. It really felt like the Magic could advance in that. But like, this is a big game on the road against your in-state rival. Like I mentioned it, like the division championship actually matters. If there's a three-way tie between Indiana, Orlando, and Miami for sixth, the first tiebreaker after, obviously they'll have the same record. The first tiebreaker is division winner. If one of those three teams wins their division, they win the tiebreaker. And so like Orlando being able to tie the season series with Miami, they have the ability to catch up in conference record to them. To have a chance to set up that scenario and potentially win the division, like it doesn't feel big because divisions don't matter anymore, but it's big. And so there is a lot in this game. It's not only that, it's going 4-1 on this 5-game road trip is huge. It's huge. Yeah. You get 4 games at home heading into the All-Star break. It's a chance to rebuild a lot of that goodwill you had back in November. You know, they're on a 3-game win streak now. You win this game. You're at 4. You get San Antonio that gets you to 5. Chicago is a winnable game at 6. And then you're setting up that huge game against Oklahoma City, and you're playing your best basketball in front of a national television audience. Hopefully, you know, you have a chance to really kind of build yourself back up and potentially climb some teams in the standings again that you maybe let get ahead of you during this run. So beating Miami means a lot to these Magic players. I think they do view Miami as kind of the measure in the Southeast, in the division. Like they see them a lot. These games, I think, do matter to the Magic. I know they matter to a lot of people within the organization that maybe aren't playing. I know it means a lot to the fans. It's a big game. Like
it is. Absolutely.
It's a big game. It's a big, big game.
A lot of fans hate Miami.
Yeah.
Hey,
a lot of Magic fans in the building, probably.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun.
They travel.
They have been traveling. You've been traveling well. I know you, dude, the road trips have been fun. It's been fun to see you on some road games. I'm glad and happy, and I know a lot of Magic fans are to see more than just Magic paid media in those rooms and Jason, and it's really nice to have you out there, and we're psyched. I just want to give every fan that's listening to this show right now, if you haven't done so, go to Phillip's Patreon page and subscribe. Do that before you even subscribe to our HQ page, to be honest. It's the same amount of dollar. It's $5 a month. You literally will have something in your inbox every day that is custom made just for the Patreons. I think it's every day, but like
I'm about daily. Like I've missed a few days here and there, but it is
some of the best paid content.
Daily, yeah.
The Six Man Show do great things. We have one. I know there's some other guys that do some Patreon type stuff. They're all good. Phillips is the best by far. It's the one you will learn the most about basketball on. So I just want to like plug that because I am a believer. I am a paying subscriber of his service. I learn a lot from it. So go sign up for Phillip, because the more you do that, the more he can go on road trips. The more he's going to the playoffs to cover this team.
I'm planning to.
Help him out. All right. Just go do it. It'll be the best $5 you spend all season on the Magic. So, with all that being said, thanks for tuning in. Phillip, go ahead. Tell everyone where they can find your work.
Yeah. If you want to subscribe to that Patreon page, it's the Orlando Magic Hub. So it's patreon.com/Orlando Magic Hub. You can of course find my work at Orlando Mag. You can find my free work at OrlandoMagicDaily.com. as well as the podcast I host, Locked On Magic, if you want a daily dose of Magic podcast goodness every day.
Yes. Tune into that stuff, guys. It's great. I'm a Locked On Magic
subscriber. I will
probably
not be quoting Dr. Dre very often.
I didn't even catch that. I'm obviously tired. I love it, though. Thank you so much. I appreciate you joining the show. Let's go, Magic. Let's beat the Heat. Let's crush it. And thanks for tuning to another episode of The Close Up. Peace.